College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio live from New Orleans. Kyle Quinn playing the music back in Philadelphia as we're live on Radio Row here. Eagles, Chiefs, we're getting close now. It is, we're not that far away from this football game. Media night last night, opening night, and now we really get ready for it. And joining us now, as he does every week, the Ross Report. You see it on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL. We were just admiring Ross's setup here. There's the regular Ross Tucker next to me, and then, like, I don't know, 200 feet
larger
away,
than life Ross
big
Tucker.
Big screen Ross Tucker over
big
there.
Big time Ross,
Ross
Tucker.
Ross, how we doing?
I'm doing okay. Can we zoom out a little bit, by the way? I think I can see my nose hairs on that screen over there. That does make me feel way cooler than I actually am.
No, you're really cool.
Well, you're
in
two places
really cool.
at once yeah. right now. You're there. You're here with us. And
blowing up.
Yep, Ross.
That's incredible, actually. I haven't even seen that. They didn't do that yesterday when I was here.
It's pretty cool. All right, Ross, let's get into a lot with the game and the week. Ross, we started the show today talking about what came up yesterday at Goodell's press conference that Clark Hunt was asked about last night. He responded. And even Travis Kelce joking about it. The referee thing. It's become a huge story with the Chiefs. It's become a weekly thing. Troy Aikman a few weeks ago ripping the referees in that game against Texans. How significant do you think it is? Is it overblown? And what we're talking today is the Eagles going to be a disadvantage Sunday? I think it's overblown. Where do you come down?
I love this question. I literally, Joe, I write a column for the 33rd team, you know, that Mike Tannenbaum, mm-hmm. Rick Spielman thing. This mm-hmm. is what I wrote about. I despise people blaming officiating. To me, it's like the loser's lament. In particular, and my favorite team I played for was the Bills. I'm very annoyed by a lot of Bills fans right now. First of all, both the plays that they keep talking about were both reviewed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think the Texans have more beef for the two hits on Mahomes because you're not able to review those. But the two in the Bills game, they were both reviewed. You know, I'm a believer in, to some extent, you make your own breaks. I think we notice calls that go in the Chiefs' favor more so because we're looking for it, and they end up winning the game. You know, I was interviewing Trey Smith, the right guard for the Chiefs last night. By the way, unbelievable player. He's going to break Landon's contract. He's going
to be free agent to be, right?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He's going to be the highest paid guard in NFL history. In like 2 months, right? Not even. I'm thrilled for him because he plays like, I'm telling you guys right now, Hugh, you got to watch this. Jalen Carter against Trey Smith.
That's gonna be the matchup.
Bad boys. I mean, those are guys. They're not just good players. They really want to put you down. They're like old school. Jalen will punch you in the face. Trey Smith, you punch him in the face, he's gonna come back and try to kill you. Like those guys might kill each other.
Ooh,
by the
King
end of
Kong
the game.
Godzilla. Type deals.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Two times.
But anyway, in that Texans game, I called that game with Kevin Harlan. They called Trey Smith for a hold. The D-tackle grabbed him by the back of the helmet, pulled him down. It was a terrible call. Nobody mentions that because the Chiefs went on to win. Wasn't there a call in the Super Bowl a couple years ago that one of the Eagles might have fumbled?
It was Miles Sanders by the sideline.
Yes.
And yes.
And it looked like a fumble. But they called it in the Eagles' favor, right?
They said it went out of bounds, no possession for the Chiefs.
Right. Yeah. So my point is they don't get every call. Do we think they get more than their fair share? Probably. But I think that's how we feel about every team that wins a lot. Everybody thought the same thing about the Patriots and Brady.
Yep.
And people with the conspiracy theories, to me, they embarrass themselves. People are like, oh, it's all about gambling. Okay, let's walk through that. Why would gambling be why people bet on the favorites? Why would gambling, the public bets on the favorites, why would they want the Chiefs to keep winning on gambling? Oh, it's Taylor Swift. Explain that one to me. If everybody's sick of watching the Chiefs, and there'd be better ticket sales for the game, and there'd be better ratings if the Bills were in it, then what? No one has any good explanation for these cockamamie conspiracy theories.
Well, the other thing, and you mentioned it, we're hypersensitive, and the Chiefs are in the big game every year. like 55 million people watched the Bills and Chiefs, right? I think it was the second highest non-Super Bowl ever watched.
Yeah.
So they have all those eyeballs on it, and if something's close, that it just because they're in this every year, we're hypersensitive to this. If the Eagles play well, Ross, on Sunday, I don't think the referees are going to be a big factor. They'll win the game if they play really well.
No, and the other thing is, you know, it's almost like an NBA thing a little bit. They're so conscious of it now. And I know that those guys are just calling it as they see it. I know that. And that's their job. But on some level, they are human beings.
Sure.
And there's a subconscious thing there that you wonder almost if it's close, if the Eagles get the benefit of the doubt.
Ross Tucker joining us on Radio Row in New Orleans. We get set for Super Bowl 59. All right, Ross, Eagles, you know, we talked all year about their passing game and how it was up and down and not high enough at times. Boy, it was amazing in that game against the Washington Commanders. When you look at this one and this matchup, Jalen Hurts, Kellen Moore, passing game against Steve Spagnuolo, what stands out to you? Because it feels like Spagnuolo always has like a blitz in his back pocket and then he'll do it at the – I mean – when they all three Super Bowls they've won, I feel like the quarterback on the other side has had a chance to win the game, and they make it hard on him. Garoppolo 5 years ago, Jalen Hurts 2 years ago, and then Purdy last year I thought had real chances to win, and it's just like can't get over the hump. What does Spagnuolo do? What do you see there?
Well, he's the best situational blitz guy in the league because it's not like they do it all the time. But when they do it, he does an awesome job of breaking down protections and knowing what the tendency is and what his tendency is as a blitzer and then does the opposite. I was still, though, Joe, I know I've seen Orlovsky and my guy Fitzpatrick talk about why that was a tough blitz to pick up. Dude, it's 4th and 5. You know he's blitzing. How is there not an easier answer for Allen to throw the ball to? I can live with you were going the wrong way or whatever, and so you didn't pick the guy up. But there had to have been receivers with a better answer to get the ball to real quick. I actually go back and forth. I'm curious how you guys feel. It's always a combination of both. If you were playing the Eagles, would you blitz Hurts because he has shown some issues at times with when people blitz him, or would you, like, mush rush him with four guys because he's also shown a propensity at times to hold on to the ball and to take sacks. I go back and forth as to which one I would do. I think I'd probably major in the mush rush because he takes sacks. He shouldn't. Now, he's better against that at the Commanders, too. He did a lot of things better against the Commanders
very good
that I
week,
thought
yeah.
was highly encouraging.
Would you blitz him here if you were a
Spagnuolo? I was just sitting there thinking about what he said. I think I would probably blitz him, Ross, because that allows for a little bit of confusion for him.
Yeah.
And it also, I'm thinking, maybe it makes him hold on to the ball a little bit longer than you want him to. So maybe some delayed blitz stuff, because he has a propensity to hold the ball quite a bit.
Yes.
So if I'm disguising stuff on the back end and I send something, a delayed dog or something, maybe that might slow him down a little bit. Maybe some TE stunts up front or something like that. But, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because I think a lot of times, you know, we know Jalen's not gonna he's not gonna throw the ball if he doesn't feel like the receiver's open.
Right.
He's not gonna throw it in tight windows. So yeah, I'll probably do that. I'll probably test some delayed dogs, but I'm coming after him.
I think I would play more zone. I feel like he holds it longer in zone. I feel like against the blitz he'll either get it out or he'll run. I feel like the zone makes like the Rams game he held it a lot. They didn't blitz much, the Rams. It's just they just kinda muddled it up.
It really, as a former offensive lineman, some of the sacks he takes bothers me greatly. I have learned that with every player, there are pros and cons. I've learned to, rather than get as frustrated when he takes a sack he shouldn't, I've learned to try to embrace that he's not putting the ball in harm's way. He's not turning it over. And honestly, the Eagles are good enough everywhere else that might be, like, they would have beaten the Commanders even if he had a bad game again. The Eagles could have made the Super Bowl, think about this, with three average at best performances by the quarterback. That doesn't happen very much in the NFL now. Like in the AFC, you're not having three bad performances by your quarterback and getting to the Super Bowl. That's not happening. So think about how good the rest of the Eagles have to be for them to have been in that position if he had a game like he did against the Packers and Rams, against the Commanders, they still would have won because all the turnovers or whatever.
Yep.
But I do think that they need him to be able to play like he played against the Commanders to win the game.
I agree with that. Ross with us here. Ross, the other side, Fangio against Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Now, they faced off a lot, and the numbers are not great for Fangio, but a lot of that was he was the head coach of the Broncos. They didn't have a quarterback. They didn't have much of a team. So it's a little bit different. But this matchup, this defense has played so great this season, but now they go up against Reid and Mahomes with 2 weeks to prepare. This feels like this is an all-time kind of matchup.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I think he's maybe the best I've ever seen, both on third down and red zone. How crazy is it how often guys are wide open in these critical third downs? I'm watching the Bills games, and Pacheco's wide open, then Perine's wide open. These are like the game-clinching plays, and just nobody's covering Perine. What I would say about the Chiefs, I think, is super impressive. It's like they know they're going to be in one-score games, and they save their best for that last. Like, you got to know that Spagnuolo wanted to call that blitz earlier, and Andy Reid wanted to call those plays earlier, but they thought, nope, we're going to save it. It's going to be a close game. This is our got-to-have-it play. They're like the best got-to-have-it coaches I've ever seen.
Clutch.
It's unbelievable. Because we talk about the players, but I thought that the Chiefs really out-coached the Bills both sides of the ball, and I thought clearly Andy Reid out-coached Jonathan Gannon 2 years ago in the second half of that game. That can't happen. I don't think it will, but it cannot happen that the Eagles get out-coached.
Ross with us. Well, that was a huge part of that game. I agree with you. I guess because they're so used to these one-score games, they can do that. Because it's amazing. You mentioned this last week, 17 straight one-score victories. I said it yesterday, and maybe it was a little over the top with it, but I almost feel like the Eagles need to win this game in a blowout or double digit. If it's a 4-point game with 2 minutes to go, I'm terrified. I'm terrified.
I've been saying this the whole time, okay? An Eagles win to me is like 34-23, 31-20. I'm not joking. I had a dream last night that the Eagles won 31-18.
Now,
what's weird about that is it was 31-18 at halftime.
And it stayed that way?
Yeah, I don't know what happened in the second half.
That would have to be a Super Bowl record.
It wasn't that vivid of a dream, but it was 31-18 at halftime, and the Eagles held on. But if it's a one-score game late, I'm not saying the Eagles can't win, because they can. But if you asked everybody here, every single person here, in a one-score game, are you going with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, or Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts?
Everyone would say the same thing.
Every single person here would say Mahomes, Andy Reid, until Hurts and Sirianni prove otherwise.
Yeah.
Until they show, and they can do it, but it's just uncanny how often those guys make the critical play late to be able to win those games. I mean, I know that's the way trends go. There's part of my brain that says, it's not going to be 37 one-score games in a row. It's got to end at some point.
At some point, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this would be a good time for that to end.
Let's do it on Sunday.
I pick Sunday.
I like that. Ross, last one for you. Jeff Lurie last night at media night, he was asked once again, which he's been asked a lot, about the potential of a new stadium for the Eagles, and he talked about balancing what people love here, but also wanting a Super Bowl, wanting a Final Four. You go to all these stadiums. I don't want a dome in Philadelphia, but it feels like we're getting one. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so first of all, the link was 2002, right?
03 was the first year? Oh, two was the last game.
So 03, 03, that's right. So the point I would make about the link, that is, have they done, like, upgrades or refurbished over time?
They have some, yeah.
Because compared to these other stadiums I go to every week, that stadium still holds up beautifully. I mean beautifully. If you told me the link was 5 years old, 10 years old, I would believe you. So I hadn't even thought about the idea of a new stadium, to be honest with you, till he was asked about that. This is going on in Cleveland, where their stadium from 99 does not hold up well at all, and they desperately need one. They're trying to move out to the burbs. They want a dome. I understand the draw of being able to bring the big events, the Final Four, but on some level, if every city does this,
sanitized,
and you're going to be in the rotation so infrequently.
Then, what's the advantage? Yeah.
How many times are you really going to get the Final Four? One time in 20 years? How many times are you going to get the Super Bowl? One time in 20 years? Is that worth it? Is the one event to me worth it? That snow game against the Rams.
It'll never happen again.
That was incredible. That game, what's the most talked about Eagles regular season game of the last 20 years?
Snowball with Shady.
The Lions, Shady McCoy snow game. It's the most talked about game of the last 20 years regular season. And I don't know if the Rams playoff game will get quite to that point, but we'll all remember it.
Especially if they win on Sunday.
And
yeah,
it made it cool. And so I am not a fan of indoor football. I think it's one of the things that makes football cool and unique. It adds to the strategy. You know, Teddy Roosevelt loved football because he thought it was very close in a lot of respects to what happened on the battlefield. You know, you had to have strategy, all that. Weather's part of it. What weather is part of the wind, the precipitation. I think it's what makes football different than basketball and baseball. One of many things that makes it different and cool. It adds to the intrigue. I don't want every game to be in a dome like ESP.
Just had him on before. He said the same thing. He wants the dome. I'm like,
he always wants the dome.
I know.
Unless I'm doing the game on sideline, then I'm totally fine with the dome.
Yeah, Hughes with that. Ross, thanks for hopping on. We appreciate it.
Of course. Good to see you guys in person.
There he goes.
Thank you for a great year. I'll talk to you guys next week.
You got it. There he goes. Ross Tucker. Ross Tucker NFL for the Daily Ross Report. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Chuck in Mount Airy is with us. Chuck.
Dillio.
What up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
You hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, not much, man. We're down here living the dream.
No dome in Philadelphia. I'm getting T-shirts made. No dome in Philadelphia, man. Jeffrey, it ain't worth it. I mean, Ross just made a great point. It is not worth it, man. It really isn't. You know what I mean?
Chuck, let me know where to buy one of those shirts. I want to wear one of those shirts with you. I'm in.
Yeah, I appreciate it because we got to stand up, man. That's our stadium. You know what I mean? We got to stand up, man. We can't have no domes in Philadelphia. I don't know what ESP talking about. But I just wanted to say this real quick, right? Hey, Hugh, don't be down there yupping it up with Andy Reid either, man. Andy's the enemy.
Yeah, Hugh. You better know where your bread is buttered these days.
I ain't did none of the above, man. I've been chilling, man. I ain't done nothing.
Okay, I know that you got Big Red down there. You know what I mean? Former coach.
I ain't done nothing, man. I've been chilling, man. I ain't been nowhere.
We'll keep an eye on Hugh,
Yeah, keep an eye on him, man. You know what I mean? Hey, listen, I was just looking at something, though, right? And the referee thing, you know, I want to trust that the NFL has integrity. But it is something there. I'm sorry, man. I watched that Texans game, and it's something there with the Chiefs. I'm not saying that they all out cheat, but I want to trust that the league has integrity. So I don't want to just harp on that too much, and I don't want to focus on that. I hope the players aren't either going into this game. But I watched something, right, and I seen something from CBS, and it was from Pete Prisco. And he's so disrespectful to our quarterback. It's not even funny. It's sucky. I want Jalen to play better sometimes. And I want him to, you know, hit the open receiver, things of that nature. But to have the disrespect that some of these people out have, CBS, it's crazy. They rank the top 10 players going into this game, especially playing in Super Bowl 59. And they got Patrick Mahomes, number one, Saquon Barkley, number two, Chris Jones, number three, Jalen Carter, four, Lane Johnson, five, Creed Humphrey, six, Zach Bond, seven, Trent McDuffie, 8, Maya Lotta, 9, A.J. Brown, 10.
So not even top 10.
That is not even in the top 10 in this game, Joe. That is crazy to me. If that is not disrespectful to Jalen, I don't know what is. I hope on Sunday that he comes out and he proves all his doubters, all his people that don't believe him, the people that hate on him. I hope he proves them all wrong. Like I said, sometimes I want him to play better. Absolutely. But to not have him in the top 10 going into this game is ridiculous, man.
Yeah, when you started going through the list, Chuck, those first four or five names, like, I got it, right? Like, those are great players. But then once you start getting to centers and guards and all that, then it becomes like, wow, that's saying something.
That's what they really think. And then they got A.J. Brown at 11. You know, it's just disrespectful all the way around the board. I mean, of course, they got more Chiefs on his list than they do Eagles, which I don't understand because they say we got the more talented team. So I just wanted to call in and say, man, if this is not a level of disrespect to our quarterback, I don't know what is. I hope he goes out there.